Hi everyone. Today's scripture reading is from 2 Kings 5, verse 1 to 14. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and was highly regarded, because to him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel. And she had served Naaman's wife. She had said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he only cured him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send the letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. "The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, 'With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy.' As soon as the king of Israel read this letter, he tore his robes and said, 'Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me.' When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message, 'Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman went to his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. Elisha sent a message to say to him, 'Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed.' But Naaman went away angry and said, 'I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand there and call out the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar and the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?' So he turned and went off in rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more than when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?' So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and the flesh was restored and became clean, that of a young boy." This is the word of the Lord.
I love to tell the story. The hymn we sang earlier begins by proclaiming, "I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love." One scholar said that worship is telling God's story. History is his story. The Bible also tells us about God's story for the world, its beginning and the end. The Bible reveals the story of unseen things above. We can come to know who God is, how God acts. Through today's story, we can see God's way is very different than that of human. The question for us is, do we believe? 22 years ago, a young nurse pledged to God to serve him for life. 6 years later, the nurse, though raising 2 young daughters alone in a foreign land, resigned the nursing job, took on a student loan, and went into seminary. The people from church said, "How could you not think of your young daughters needed the money? How could you give up such a well-paid job for a job made only a quarter of the money? And how could you give up such a stable job for a job made not for a job that is out of your control?" Christians, not to mention people who do not know Jesus, sometimes see things in human terms. All the reasoning is sound only in human logic, not in the kingdom of God. Faith brings us to a higher horizon, a different domain. This is what today's scripture will bring us to. The story we just heard involves 4 main characters. First, the great Aramean commander, and a mighty warrior. Second, a young girl who was a captive from the land of Israel when the Aramean invaded. The young girl became the maid of Naaman's wife. The third is the king of Israel, Jehoram. The last character is the great prophet, Elisha. The story begins. The king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. Naaman, a great commander of his army, fighting for his king of Aram with great victories. But a lot of us might have missed the part that says, who allows Naaman to rise to become a great commander? Let us reread it. The king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. The Lord, God of Israel, is the one who gave Aram great victories. We cannot see things from above. God's hands are at work in the world. Remember the Babylon king, Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel? Through the fall and rise of kingdoms in the Old Testament time, God wants the living to know that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of people, says in Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. But Naaman was a mighty warrior. He suffered from leprosy. Naaman was a fragile human being like the rest of us anyhow. Regardless of our human achievements, we all have things that are beyond our control. God is in control of the whole universe, including matters beyond our control. Like cancer today, leprosy is in ancient times is not a curable disease. The mighty warrior is desperate. The young girl, the captive from the land of Israel, said to Naaman's wife, I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy. It is a statement made in courage and faith. A young girl, a captive, proclaims her confidence in her God, the Most High, the God of Israel. So let me put this in perspective here. The great commander of a kingdom invaded this girl's homeland and took her away as a captive. Now she is the servant of his household. Did the girl lose trust in her God after what happened to her? Her action reveals to us the unseen faith inside her. Her great faith in God gave her the courage to step up. God used this young girl for such a time as this. Do you believe God allows terrible things to happen to us for his purpose? Do you believe in whatever role or position, high or low, God can use you mightily for his glory? The faith of this unnamed young servant girl in her God sparked a life-changing journey of his master. The journey begins with Naaman's understanding of how the world functioned. With the king of Aram's written letter to the king of Israel, Naaman took with him a vast treasure to see the king of Israel. He is politically correct. Naaman is so important to the king of Aram that king considers the healing of Naaman as his own matter. King of Aram invaded Israel a few times and won. Therefore, the king of Israel was a vassal of the king of Aram. The gift Naaman took was no little gift. According to Strong's Concordance, one talent of silver weighed 91 pounds. In today's market, I checked online, 2019, $17 an ounce. 1 pound of silver is worth about $200. 1 talent would be worth over $18,000. And 10 talents of silver would be worth $182,000. Naaman was carrying 166 pounds of gold with him. The current price of gold, as of October 4th, 2019, is US dollar $1,449 per ounce, which means Naaman brought 3.8 million US dollar worth of gold with him. The letter to the king of Israel said, "With this letter, I present my servant Naaman. I want you to heal of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in dismay and said, "Am I God that I can give life and take it away? Why is this man asking me to heal someone with leprosy? I can see that he's just trying to pick a fight with me." The response of the king of Israel reveals his unbelief in the God of Israel. He knows that only God can give life and take it away, yet do not call on him. Instead of asking God for help, he tore his clothes in dismay. He is in mourning. The king of Israel sees the leper and his inability to heal him, not the mighty God who can heal. In the time of trouble, who do you turn to? In the time of crisis, do we see only the impossible of humans, not God? In God, all things are possible. Do you believe in God, all things are possible? What happened next? When Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay, he sent this message to him. "Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him with his message. "Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored, and you will be healed of your leprosy." This sounds too easy. No medicine, no healing ceremony, no examination of his condition. The list goes on for all natural human understanding. Well, Elisha did not even meet with the great commander with such a massive caravan of treasure in person. Naaman's response was a normal one, as probably you and I. But Naaman became angry and stalked away. "I thought he would certainly come out to meet me," he said. "I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord his God and heal me. Aren't the rivers of Damascus, the Abana and the Pharpar, better than any of the rivers of Israel? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed?" So Naaman turned and went away in rage. In the time of trouble or time of making life decisions, when we come to God for help, we bring with us a set of social rules and norms. We think, act, work, see the world, respond to various circumstances, play and make sense of who we are from the way we brought up. We call it cultural embeddedness. As scholars defined it, culture is a learned set of shared interpretations about beliefs, values, and norms which affect the behavior of a relatively large group of people. Cultural differences are created and sustained by a complex set of the forces that are deeply embedded within the culture's members. All ethnic groups carry within them the culture in which they were raised. People are not aware of such embeddedness until they encounter people from different cultures. They may feel dislike toward people from other cultures, or even discriminate against people from other cultures without realizing that their actions are due to the cultural preferences embedded within. This embeddedness makes cultural differences seem like abnormal behaviors. This is how we operate and survive in the world. When it comes to God's way of doing things, it is foreign to us. We are used to the form of this world, things we can see, we can control, we can do, we can grasp. But the way of God, it's by faith only. The Lord Almighty says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. If we walk by faith, it is quite simple and easy. Too easy for us to believe sometimes. See what happens when Naaman step out in faith. Listen to the Lord's instruction, obey and do it. So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times as the man of God has instructed him. And his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child. And he was healed. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. In your situation now, are you still reasoning with yourself or even with God using your own understanding? We learned earlier, it is cultural embeddedness. Maybe we call it the old self. God's way is different than the world. Jesus tells us, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps on one cheek, turn them to the other. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. It's from Luke chapter 6. Is it mind-boggling to you? Impossible for ordinary people, perhaps. Do you believe what Jesus said is true? Even it does not make sense to you? Do you put it to practice? During the deepest, darkest days of apartheid, when the government tried to shut down opposition by canceling a political rally, Archbishop Desmond Tutu declared that he would hold a church service instead. St. George Cathedral in Cape Town, South Africa, was filled with worshippers. Outside the cathedral, hundreds of police gathered, a show of force intended to intimidate. As Tutu was preaching, they entered the cathedral, armed, and lined the walls. They took out notebooks and recorded Tutu's word, but Tutu would not be intimidated. He preached against the evils of apartheid, declaring he could not endure. As one extraordinary point, he addressed the police directly. You are powerful. You are very powerful. But you are not gods. And I serve a God who cannot be mocked. Who cannot be mocked. So, since you've already lost, I invite you today to come and join the winning side. With that, the congregation erupted in dance and singing. The police didn't know what to do. Their attempts at intimidation had failed, overcome by the Archbishop's confidence that God and goodness would triumph over evil. It was but a matter of time. Tutu worked hard to end the apartheid without the use of violence. He was the leading figure in helping South Africa tackle apartheid through the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, a commission of the South African government to begin the healing process ending the apartheid. The apartheid ended in 1994. The Apostle Paul teaches us to pray without ceasing. I will use the word pray as an acronym to help us to practice what God tells us. P, for pause. Whenever we face an awkward situation, pause. Don't use your own understanding of your personal cultural preferences to decide what to do or not to do. R, for remember, to gain perspective for today and direction for tomorrow, we need to remember the biblical meaning of remember does not just remember the past event, but to bring the past event to the present, to remind us that God is the living God, and He is still actively working today. In doing so, we remind ourselves of God's presence in our midst. And A is for ask. In the time of trouble or the time to make a life decision, ask God to speak to us. Open our eyes to see the unseen and step out in faith. And Y is for yield. When we hear God, no matter how unbelievable it is to us, yield to God. Remember the young nurse I talked about earlier? This is the young nurse, well, used to be. It's the old nurse now, standing here speaking. The God we put our trust in is the God who took on flesh, took the curse of sins upon Himself, died on the cross for the sins of the world, and rose again after 3 days so that you and I can have a new life in Christ. Do you believe? Let us respond to God in the following song. In whatever situation you're in, pray, P-R-A-Y. May what Samuel said to God when God first called him be our response today. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Thank you.